afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It's Tuesday, March 28th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Well, Melody.
What a day, what a day, what a day. They just can't leave gold alone, can they? But let me pull up my prices here. We'll go into the market report today. A little bit of a pullback, but we were expecting that, so it's really no big deal. It's only down $370 today at $1,251.10. We did have the high of $1,258. Silver still captured a two-cent gain at $1,821. Platinum was down 15 at $956, along with palladium down three at $795. My professional opinion is the white metals got hit, and, you know, gold sort of followed along, but they reversed in the middle of the day, and they're beginning to come back here in late trading. So there really isn't anything for them to reverse their continued gain, except the Dow was up 100 and some points today. So we'll get to that, but first let's see what the U.S. dollar did today. That was up 0.51. So there you have it at 99.71. Crude oil was up 62 at 48.35. And the paper markets today, we saw the Dow up 150 points, 20,701. The NASDAQ was up 34 at 58.75. The S&P was up 16 at 23.58. 10-year yield, that was up 0.04 at 2.41%. You know, and Japan and Germany and London, they're all happy, happy. And the fear greed went from 29 to 34. But, for
which
what
means
reasons?
We're moving into greed rather than fear?
We're still a long way away from greed, but it's just not as fearful as you were yesterday. People aren't as fearful of the markets as they were yesterday. So, you know, again, it's just something to kind of see where it's in relationship to the stock markets and to see what happens. There's just a lot of things coming out of Washington. There's just so much coming out of Washington. I'm just surprised that the markets just haven't tanked already, because there isn't any certainty coming out of Washington, coming out of anywhere. And I just don't mean the administration. I'm just everywhere. It's just insanity.
Yep.
You have all these cities that are vowing to allow these illegal aliens. They're free to roam. They're all defiant of the legislation that they're, you know, supposed to work with ICE. You have New York City vows to block ICE. It's just there was one sheriff, I believe it was is it Vermont, one of those north Massachusetts. They said arrest leaders of sanctuary cities. A Massachusetts law enforcement official testifying before Congress on Tuesday called for leaders of sanctuary cities to be arrested.
I agree.
Absolutely. I mean, they're.
They're breaking the law. All right? The whole government has this idea that the law is for the little people. All right? And the government itself doesn't have to obey the law. They are always doing good deeds, or they've got some excuse or pretext or whatever. If they don't obey the law, jail them. You don't need to spank them. You don't need to talk to them. Grab them, arrest them, throw them in the slammer. Charge them criminally. They're found guilty, jail them. It's insane. We have a government that is clearly a lawbreaker. And we are supposed to sit back and be good little citizens and just do as we're told while the government does whatever it feels like and ignores the Constitution, ignores their obligation to protect this country. It's just infuriating. It's a sort
of thing. It's also coming from Washington, too. You know, they said, well, we'll stop your funding. Well, no, do more than stop your funding.
Yeah, I know. That's exactly right. Oh, we're going to slap you on the wrist. No, don't slap them on the wrist. Throw them in the slammer.
Because they're not going to stop the funding, because it floods down to the people also. You know, you've got recipients of those funds. So, you know, that's not going to happen either. So, you know, it's So again, you would think with all this type of inside turmoil in various parts of this country with the health care, and you know what it is. I mean, you know, they say, you know, defund Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. Well, you know what? They took the mandate off to where people get penalized. So that is partially defunding Obamacare. So you wonder, you don't have healthy people signing up. I mean, that's just a system that is ready to, you know, just collapse. And, you know, the outcome of that, I mean, you've got things just brewing everywhere. Whether you like them, whether you like the idea of these things are getting done, and we expected the turmoil. I mean, when you have change, you're going to have turmoil when you try to change something that's been so ingrained, you know, so, but it's still going to filter down into other parts. And it just baffles me. Well, it doesn't baffle me, but, you know, the Federal Reserve and Wall Street, they're good. They're good. You know, they know how to keep the system going and to keep it.
For now.
For now.
Yeah, for now. But
exactly.
You have to wonder.
You got to give them credit.
I mean, how much longer can you hold this thing together? How many more laws can you break? How many more times can you just look the public in the eye and essentially say, screw you, we're doing what we want to do? Too big to fail, too big to jail, bunk. They are not too big to be held accountable. And we have just gone so far off the rails on this. We are allowing a criminal element to run this country and to profit from the operation of government. And it's not tolerable. It's not survivable. We cannot hold this country together if we're going to sit back and say, anybody who wants to be a crook, go ahead and be one. If you make enough money, we turn you loose. Now, if you're a small-time crook, yeah, of course, we'll throw you in the slammer. But big-time crooks, big-time criminals, no. Those are too big to jail. Too big to help, be held accountable. I mean, we just let it slide and let it slide and let it slide and make exceptions and excuses. It has to stop. If we're going to get tough on crime, we need to get tough on crime in the White House. We need to get tough on crime in the Congress, in the Senate, in the government. When we get them straightened out, we'll worry about the little people. We'll worry about the small-time criminals. The big ones are up there in government, and they think they don't have to obey the Constitution, and they think if they disobey it, it doesn't count as a crime because they're politicians or bureaucrats or whatever. Has to count as a crime. Has to happen. If it won't happen, then what do we got in this country? No Constitution, no law, no order, just who's got the power? Rule by man rather than rule by law. Might makes right. That's all. It can't work out well. It cannot. I mean, it's the sort of thing, you know, it's like the American Revolution. Thomas Jefferson and the people in this country petitioned repeatedly King George of England. I'd say, look, you got to get off our backs. And they said, we don't have to listen to you people. Well, they didn't listen to the people who were writing to them. They said, we don't have to listen to you people that talk and protest and write. Okay, they didn't listen to them, and the next sound you heard was the shot heard around the world. And then a shooting revolution where a lot of people died. You either listen to the people who talk to you, or you're going to hear the people who shoot at you, at least for a while. You can't just ignore it. The public is doing this, and we are petitioning our government repeatedly. We're not asking that they disobey the law. We're asking that they obey the law. And they say, we can't do that. We don't have time. It's not politically acceptable. Somebody's got to make Congress obey the law, and they need to understand that insofar as they object to people speaking to them, writing to them, petitioning them, which is guaranteed in the First Amendment, the right to petition government for redress of grievances. We have that right. They don't want to listen to it? Fine. Ignore. Eventually you're going to see people that are going to say, we're done talking. And nobody is going to like it. No one is going to like it. And it flows from refusal to hear people that want to talk to you and treat you like a human being in the first place. We're headed for trouble, Melody.
I think so.
Yeah, I know. And there's no way of getting around this. There is no easy way.
No, there isn't. And, you know, we don't know which corner it's going to come out of, but it's going to come. And
yeah,
we're getting closer and closer. And what's interesting is when it comes out of one corner, they're all going to it have an impact? I mean, here you have the market around 150 points, and the House Republican leaders in the White House came out today and said, hey, we're going to restart negotiations on the legislation of the Affordable Care Act. Really? Is that market that tied to health care? If it's that tied to health care, then I'm scared to heck of what's going to happen when that does fail.
Yeah.
You know, because of this, I mean, there isn't anything that makes sense in this world. I was reading, I don't know if I can pull it up here, about pension funds. Do we have time yet before we go into...
We have about 7 minutes.
About 7 minutes?
Yes.
Let me see if I can. But I mean, they're just ready to explode. I mean, there isn't anything there.
Why is it ready to explode?
They can't pay them.
Yeah, no, they can't deliver on promises made. The reason this stuff is ready to explode is we've had politician after politician and generations of politicians who believe the secret to being elected is to promise people that make promises to voters that ultimately they can't make good on. And that's what's happened. The government said, we're going to give you this, we're going to give you this, vote for me, and we're going to put a chicken in every pot, everything's going to be great, everything's going to be wonderful. And the American people have been stupid enough to think they are entitled and they should have things that they don't pay for themselves with their own wealth, with their own earnings. I say, oh no, I'm entitled. I need a free lunch. Government can provide me with a free lunch. Well, they have. And we Americans have gone along with the free lunch idea, the entitlement idea, and now the debt is piled up so high, it turns out it wasn't free. We were just postponing it until future generation, and now the time is just about here when it's going to be required to pay that debt. We're going to find out, oh my God, you mean all those free lunches? I have to pay for those free lunches I had? Yeah, you have to pay for them. And one way or another, we will, and no one is going to like it. No one is going to like it. And the reason it happens is because the politicians are a bunch of self-serving SOBs, and the people are, by and large, a bunch of greedy SOBs. And the two of them put together, and the result is nobody wants to be accountable. Nobody wants to be responsible. Everybody thinks we can just make things happen like fiat dollars. We can spin them out of thin air, and everything will work out. No, it won't work out. It'll collapse. Although it won't happen as soon as you might. It doesn't work in terms of human years. All right? We have a relatively short lifespan. And the things that we can see in our lifespan suggest that maybe we can get away with a free lunch. All right? But for government, for an economy, it lasts for centuries. It takes a while for the problems to pile up to a point where you see the avalanche. But we're getting that point. And when it comes down, it's going to be heck on earth.
According to one pension advocacy organization, there's nearly 1 million working and retired Americans are covered by pension plans at the risk of collapse. I think it's more than a million. This pension crisis, again, it's not limited. They include former public employees, such as members of South Carolina's government pension plan. It covers roughly 50,000 people, one out of 9 state residents, and it's staggering. It's $24 billion in the red.
Yep.
And these include former blue-collar workers, such as 100,000 coal miners, who face serious cuts in pension payments and health coverage, thanks to a $6 billion shortfall in the plan of the United Mine Workers of America. And when the bill comes due, you know, we're all in for it. It's just not them that are going to suffer. It's all of us that's going to suffer. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics report from 2015, the average household income of someone older than age 75 is $34,000. You know what? That really is a lot of money. And their average expenses exceed that slightly. And it is not an exaggeration than to say that even a modest reduction in retirement income is going to make that budget of a 75-year-old unsustainable, even when that average budget, you know, is far from, you know, the current levels that they are. And what's interesting, too, it's not like they're going on cruises. Their $35,000, $34,000 annual income is spent on food, is spent on health care, is spent on housing. It's not disposable income where they're out there going to bingo every night. And this is just their needs. So it's, you know, you start cutting that, people begin to go hungry, people begin to, and, you know, some people will say people will begin to die. Some people say, well, that's a good thing. You know, it reduces
population.
Yeah.
It reduces the creditor class that the government owes money to. If you die, then the government doesn't have to pay you your bill. Doesn't have to pay your bill to, or pay its bill to you. Right? I don't know. The world has just gone mad. But what's, do you see a lesson here, Melody? Do you see a lesson in the pension funds? They say we have it's in the red. No, it's not in the red. It's insolvent. It's bankrupt. It's goodbye.
That's what they're saying.
This isn't a situation. When they say it's in the red, they imply, well, we'll work this out. No, you're not. No, you're not going to work it out. This is money that's been stolen. It's been promises have been made that can't be kept. And people should have had brains enough to look in the beginning and say, you can't keep this promise. It's like somebody comes up, vote for me, and I promise you'll live forever. Come on. You can't keep it. But we want to believe these promises, and insofar as we do, we play the fool. When it comes to pensions, if you want to provide for your own, the lesson here, in my opinion, is that if you want to provide for your retirement, it's up to you to provide for your retirement. Meaning, if you are going to trust somebody, and that's what the government did and the unions did and the rest of that, say, you vote for us and we'll give you a pension that's twice as good as you could earn on your own. And people go for it. We'll coerce the public. We'll coerce the taxpayers. We'll coerce customers. We'll coerce somebody to pay you double what you're worth. And people go for it. And what happens? The system collapses and you get none of what you're worth. And there's a certain amount of justice in it. But my point is, if you want to provide for your retirement, you have to take care of it. And don't you trust somebody else to do it for you.
Exactly. Whoever thought that with all this money there, you've got 21,000 stock markets, you got the NASDAQ hitting. Do you really believe they're going to let you have that money? Do you think they're going to let you walk away with it, just like these pension funds? Did you ever think that they would allow you to walk
away?
Sure, there was some. Some were lucky.
Everybody thought it.
Some were lucky. But everybody thought that they were going to get rich and live the life of leisure.
Yep.
And that's what was promised. That,
just work
in
the
television.
System.
Look at the commercials that are dragged across your face day in and day out on the internet and everywhere. Oh, you can buy these mansions. You know, everybody wants to live the lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? You can't. The U.S. Treasury denied a cut to the New York Teamsters pension plan that was proposed last year. And guess what? Now that fund is on the brink of collapse. Their recipients are facing, you know, a cut of one-third of what they were 15 years ago.
We're going to take a break for some commercials, catch our breath, stop hyperventilating, and we will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
We will find you acting on your bed.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hi, folks. It's Alfred Addis. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and the program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. If you're worried about your retirement, maybe it's time to actually start thinking about your retirement. Maybe it's time to realize that these policies, we've been telling you this for years, these paper promises to pay, and that includes pension funds and bank accounts and stocks and bonds. If it's a piece of paper, it's not a payment, it's a promise to pay. There's too many promises out there. They can't all be kept, and I don't mean we're going to lose 10% of the promises. We're going to lose 80, 90% of the paper promises. We're going to certainly lose 50%. And in my judgment, we're going to lose 80 to 90% of those paper promises will be repudiated by inflation or just outright repudiation, or they just come out and say, look, we can't pay the debt. Sorry about that. Too bad for you. If you can't get this idea, you're in big trouble, in my opinion. And if you can get it, it's time to put your wealth into something tangible. This paper is going to blow up. It's going to explode. It's going to burn in everybody's face before this is all over. And people who think they have a substantial amount of paper wealth will discover they have nothing. Not everybody. Some of us will get through. Some of us will make it. Some of us will have paper that actually survives, but most of it won't. Point. You need something. You need to store your wealth in a tangible form. A tangible media that is not going to be destroyed like pension funds we were talking about in the first half of the program. Pension funds, Social Security, all the promises to pay, unfunded liabilities. The debts can't be paid, right? And anyone who believes they can is an idiot. They cannot be paid. Not in, some of them will get paid, but most of them will not. If you want to provide for your retirement, it's up to you to provide for your retirement. You know, you need to take action. You need to get something tangible. What's next, Melody?
Well, they can convert those dollars, those worthless dollars, into, I have a small little package today, a 1/4 ounce American Gold Eagle. It was cut a little bit for the drop in gold today. And 21-ounce silver rounds. It includes your shipping costs for $725. That's a 1/4 ounce American Gold Eagle. The Buffalo silver rounds. It includes all your shipping costs for $725. And I have a very limited supply, a beautiful 1 ounce. These are 1 ounce Canadian maple leaves. And I'm selling them for, $30 over spot. So a really great deal on 1 ounce American, not 1 ounce Canadian maple leaves. So, and I only have, I think I got 10 of them at that price. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Also, just a quick reminder, folks, if anyone calls you and wants you to sell your gold for silver, don't do it. You know, what they're trying to do is they're trying to learn how much gold you have, how much silver you have. They're trying to learn how much cash you have, how much disposable income you have, how many investment dollars do you have. They're trying to learn what your portfolio is. And then what they'll do is they'll tell you to sell some of your gold and get silver. And if you have big dollars, if you have large amounts, they're going to tell you to get into silver options, or they're going to trade you into paper silver. You don't want to do that. So it's not about just promising to be paid. It's about promises of returns. You know, they promise you, oh, you're going to get, oh, this stock had 1,300% return, or this one had this. Don't buy into it. They're just churning your account. They do not, and I repeat, they do not have your best interest at heart. It is only theirs. Why do you think they're calling you? And if it was such a great deal, they wouldn't have to call you at all. You know, they just invest all they had. So again, just be very careful. There's so much, there's a lot of competition out there in the gold and silver. There's a, you know, sometimes there are information on the reasons you want to buy gold and silver. I can't argue against it. You know, it's the same things that we talk about right here on this program. They don't have any other new information. They don't, you know, they're not, you know, any more brilliant than what we are. They're, you know, they just have a different way of promoting it. And so their information can be good as far as why you want to buy gold and silver. But then again, you know, when they say, oh, you only need 5 or 10% of gold and silver in your portfolio, hang up the phone, because it's not in your best interest. And, I love hearing from my clients when they call me and they say, Melody, you know, hey, should I do this? Should I do that? No, but I'll tell you the reasons why. And you can still make it an informed decision if that's something you want to do. But you have to listen to both sides. Don't just take these people's word for it. I don't care how powerful they think they are. I was reading one guy's thing. It's the guy who talks about $700 gold. Well, you know, he was talking about how great his health care how great his health care is. I was like, you know what, for the most, well, yeah, why do you think he's got the best health care out there? Most people in this country don't. So, yeah, it just, they just rub me the wrong way. You know, if they had a good product, I would tell you, and I would be the first in line if it was a good product and I thought that it would benefit me. And if I thought it would benefit me, I would also share it with you. So pick up the special, folks. It's a great little SPAC package for $725 and $30 over spot for Canadian maple leaves, 1 ounce. Alfred?
Yeah, silver is currently being sold for about 70 ounces of silver for 1 ounce of gold. It's been ballpark figure. It varies around that point. But it's been around that level, that ratio for, I don't know, maybe a couple of years, I'm not sure how long, but certainly 6 months, a year, something like that, maybe several years. But that's where it is. But people have, and it's been lower than that, and people have advocated that it would, that silver is one day coming back to where it's 16 ounces of silver for an ounce of gold. If it goes from 70 ounces of silver to 1 ounce of gold, which is where it is roughly today, to 16 ounces of silver to 1 ounce of gold, that's going to be a tremendous increase in the price of silver relative to the price of gold. And people are well advised under those circumstances to get into silver. But is that ratio reasonable? You look back, and I've seen the stats on it, I've seen charts on it. Yes, there have been moments when silver was 16 to 1 relative to gold. But if you look at the charts for the last century, you can see that the average has been in the neighborhood of 40 to 50 ounces of silver for 1 ounce of gold. And that's where I expect this will go. And no doubt that if silver really does well, all right, it could get to a point where it'll take 45, 50 ounces of silver to equal the price of 1 ounce of gold. That it would, and I doubt that we'll do much. I doubt that it'll go much lower than that. Although it might spike lower briefly, I don't think it'll be sustained much lower than that, because that's been the average for the past, for most of the past century, since at least World War II. There's an article here from Newsmax, and they're pointing out that J.P. Morgan Chase is the largest investment bank in the United States. In 2012, they had 5 million ounces of silver. Today, they have 91.5 million ounces of silver. In just 5 years, they've increased their stockpile 17 times over. Since the beginning of 2017, J.P. Morgan Chase purchased 9.4 million ounces. That's just since the beginning of this year. That's an average of about 125 ounces of silver per work day. What does J.P. Morgan know about silver that we don't? Well, you know, I don't doubt that the price of silver is going to go up, and it will probably go up more quickly than gold. This doesn't mean that it's necessarily a better buy. It'll probably do that, but not to the extent people are anticipating. They point out that gold, there are a couple of people in this article. One of them predicts that gold's going to, or silver, excuse me, is going to, it's going to exceed $100 an ounce. The other one is talking about $140 per ounce. These are all possible. I'm not denying, but the price of gold, if it goes to $140 an ounce, my guess is gold is going to be 50 times that, which would be about $7,000. Even if it's $5,000, it would be, I mean, gold and silver will more or less go up together, more or less. But there's a problem here. I won't even say it's a problem, but there is a distinction. Silver is the most reflective and conductive metal element on the planet. Because of this, there are no suitable substitutes, making silver indispensable to not only electronics manufacturing, but our nation's defense, transportation, and solar energy as well. And because it's a powerful bactericide, non-toxic to humans, silver is equally essential to the medical industry. If electronics manufacturers start competing for a scarce supply of silver to meet the growing demand for their products, that could have an explosive effect on silver prices. And this is from the article I'm reading from, which is from Newsmax and Rustat. The point is that silver is primarily an industrial metal. All right, it will do very well if the global economy strengthens. I think the predictions of $140 per ounce silver are improbable, at least not unless the economy strengthens dramatically on a global basis. $50 to $70 an ounce silver seems more likely to me. Whatever the price peak happens to be for silver, we can assume that gold, currently about 70 times the 70 ounces of silver for 1 ounce of gold, will be in the neighborhood of 50 times 50 ounces of silver for 1 ounce of gold, as I said earlier. If so, $50 silver could correspond to $2,500 gold. But the ratio of gold to silver prices is confusing and it's unpredictable. Both of the metals are monetary because we've had silver dollars and we've had gold dollars. We've had gold money in this country, we've had silver money in this country. But both of them are not equally monetary. All right? The ratio of gold to silver, again, confusing and unpredictable. Silver should do much better than gold if the economy strengthens. Gold should do much better than silver if the economy goes into depression and or the fiat dollar is destroyed by inflation. In the end, silver is primarily an industrial metal. Right, as we pointed out, it's highly reflective, highly conductive. It is indispensable in some regards for some industrial applications. But if there's no industry, we don't need silver anywhere near as much. If I had to guess, and it's a subjective guess, it's a subjective estimate to make a point. The price of silver is 70% based on industry and 30% based on monetary forces. Gold, on the other hand, is at least 70, maybe 80% monetary and only 20% industrial. If the economy gets better, demand for gold will not be significant. The dollar, the monetary problems will diminish and gold will go down, probably. If the economy gets better, silver will go up. But if the economy goes down, and particularly if we go into significant monetary inflation, then the dollar begins to wither and perhaps even die, the fiat dollar. If that happens, silver will not do all that well because industrial demand will probably be down, but gold is going to do great. And the point I'm trying to get to is that gold is your bad times metal. It is the monetary metal. It is the primary monetary metal. And in the event we have a monetary problem, as in the dollar loses value and or the dollar ceases to exist, gold is going to pick up the slack. Gold will be the one in the event of a monetary problem that increases most dramatically. If the economy improves dramatically, silver will be being the primarily industrial metal. Silver will prosper probably more than gold. So these aren't the same. Silver and gold, silver is not a poor man's gold. Some people say, oh, silver is a poor man's gold. No, it's not. Silver is an investment for people who believe the economy is going to improve significantly. Gold is an investment for people who believe the monetary system is going to head for big trouble.
I disagree with you a little bit because I do believe it is the poor man's gold.
Because
we go into a financial crisis, the percentage of industrial uses will drop and the monetary will come back into play. So, you know, and it's just a matter of because people won't be able to afford gold, they will get into silver. So it does have multiple uses. And in past financial crises, back 100 years or so, you know, back in the, you know, 1800s and so forth, whenever there is and silver does the same thing in all this time. In good times, it reverts to an industrial metal, and when you have a financial crisis, then it'll convert to a more of a monetary metal because that's what people go to, you know, because it is used, because the government will use silver as part of minting of coins and so forth. But,
I understand that. I'm talking about primary. I'm not talking silver and gold are both monetary metals, but gold is primarily monetary and silver is primarily industrial.
At this point in time, yes, silver is more industrial, but it still is a poor man's gold that they will go to in the future during financial difficulties. Right now, I mean, you're looking at gold is always and has been the monetary metal, just like you mentioned. Ben Bernanke, when he was testifying in front of Congress, he didn't say that he watches silver. He watches gold on a daily basis when he was the Federal Reserve chairman. So it is going to be not only just here in this country, but all around the world in central banks, it will be all about gold. And when you talk about the shortage of gold versus the shortage of silver, it is going to be the central banks that have leased their gold out time and time again and still showing it on their books. Yep. We have absolutely no idea what these central banks have. And I believe that will be the biggest scam ever. That is something that we'll see in the future. In the future. It's not going to be tomorrow or next year. You know, it'll be.
Yeah, it might be. Could be next year.
But that
won't
is.
Won't be tomorrow.
To
we can promise you that.
I mean, even the. I mean, the story of J.P. Morgan, you know, hoarding silver has been around for a long time. And there's been multiple reports showing that, they probably don't. They're. I mean, no one knows. So many of these articles are written, and they're not fake. There's a little bit of truth in them and so forth. But we really don't know. We can look at their short positions. You can look at them going long and everything. But you really don't know how much physical metal that they have. And holding the paper doesn't mean they have the physical gold, even the ETFs.
I understand.
The ETFs,
promises to pay. Paper is just a promise to pay. Most of the promises can't be kept.
The ETFs
I promise
claim,
you this. We'll be back from our commercial break in just a moment. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival. Where are we? Only at 19? No, we're at 40.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231. And the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
You know, I mean, I can, you know, people ask me, well, how much gold should they hold? How much silver should they hold? It's mine. We're not financial planners, but it's my professional opinion for 23 plus years that an 80% gold, 20% silver. Now, as the gold, silver prices rise, like $30 and $40 and $50 that we saw, then my percentage increases in the silver because, you know, you need the higher percentage because the cost is more. So you still have to get that, you know, same balance that you had at 80-20. So, yeah, your percentage of increase. But it also depends on the customer's investment objective. You know, it's also about you and what you want to do. And it's my job to educate you on how the world has seen gold, how it's going to react with gold and silver, so that you can make it an informed decision. Silver's going to do very, very well. I could actually see silver going to $100, but you know what? Let it get to $100, and then I'll tell you if it's going to go higher. And I said the same thing the last time silver hit 50. People would ask me, well, how do you think silver's going to go? Well, let's get the 50 first, and then I'll tell you where it's going to go. I knew there was going to be a little bit of a pullback. I didn't think it'd come back here, but I knew we'd see a little bit of a pullback because there was a lot of paper trading going on at that peak. We saw the same thing going on when gold hit 1900, you know, closing in on 2000. And again, I didn't expect it to recover all the way back to the levels that it did. But I thought we'd see some short-term pullbacks at those peaks. So we did, but they never recovered. I think we'll see some big numbers in both gold and silver. And you want to get rid of those worthless dollars. And there's a lot of promises out there of having, 1,300% gains. And, you know, already I've heard the dinar. This came up recently. Oh, the dinar. Like they're going to reset those currencies. They're going to reset the Zimbabwe currency. Oh, they're going to pay a penny per Zimbabwe. It's like, oh, okay. I mean, it's just like, but people want to believe. People, I don't understand. People believe these promises of returns.
Yes.
You should just be happy.
Because they need the return. They want to believe it. All right? And there's part of the problem. They want to believe these things, and they want to believe them because they know they're in big trouble. We have an article here from CNBC. It says 1 in 3 Americans can't come up with $2,000. 1/3 of Americans would not be able to come up with $2,000 to deal with an emergency like an urgent home repair, medical crisis, or car accident. That's according to a new study by the New York Federal Reserve. 32.8% admit they could not come up with $2,000 in the next month if faced with an emergency. That percentage has held steady since October of 2015. One of the most common emergencies is a medical expense. Currently, 1/3 of Americans would not be able to handle a $100. 1/3 of Americans would not be able to handle a $100 medical bill without going into debt. $100, you gotta go into debt to come up with $100. That's for 1/3 of the American people. What I'm trying to get to is we talk about this. We talk about the situation as we're doing right now, and we're saying these people are in trouble. This isn't news to these people. They know they're in trouble. They know they can only have trouble coming up with $100 for a medical bill. They know they can't come up with $2,000 over the course of the next month without going into debt. They know they're in trouble, and because they know they are close to trouble, they become desperate. They need something to get out. I got to win the lottery. They are already so far down the hole that they can't just plan on, well, I'll start saving 10% of my income for the next 20 years and then I'll be okay. No, you won't. You need a miracle to pull you out of that kind of, if you're in that kind of situation, you're going to need a miracle to get you out of that hole. And a lot of these people are looking for that miracle. Somebody comes up and says, I have a miracle for you. And they say, yes, I believe I will get the miracle. Well, maybe some will, but most won't. Truth is, most of us don't get miracles. Some of us do, but not most of us. And the people that are in this situation, they want to believe things, and they need to recognize, all of us need to recognize, that when we are desperate, we become far more susceptible to the promises of people that are skillful at manipulating, you know, our sentiments. That people that are skillful of taking advantage of our problems. Again, Hillary Clinton and Rahm Emanuel have both said, a crisis is a terrible thing to waste. What do they mean by that? They mean that people in a crisis are desperate. They'll do almost anything. If it sounds like it might work, let's try it. And it gives hustlers and con artists an opportunity to present information that is simply lies. I know it's lies. But if you give me $2,000, I'm going to save your life. I'll show you how to turn that $2,000 into $2 million. All right, some people will cough up the $2,000. The con artists will make money. They'll laugh and they'll grin. And they'll take advantage of the people in crisis, the people who are desperate. And all of us need to understand that we are vulnerable that way. We can all be foolish if we are desperate. And we need to look at our circumstances and kind of check ourselves and say, am I desperate? Am I making a decision because it actually makes sense, it's common sense, it's based on fundamentals, I'm going to profit from this, I'm going to be better off for making this decision, or am I reacting to my own desperation and reaching for straws? We all need to do it. We're all susceptible to it. Could happen to me, could happen to Melody, could happen to anybody. It's not just, you know, I'm not just talking about people, the people who are 33%, a third that can't come up with $2,000. In a month's time. All of us are, we're in that, maybe in a different proportion. Some people can't come up with $200,000 in a month's time. All right? You would think they're in a different world, but typically they have a McMansion. All right? They have, you know, a car that's far more expensive than what they need for transportation. In some regards, they have more money than the guy who can't come up with $2,000, but they stare just proportionally, they may be at least as much in debt as the guy who can't come up with $2,000. And it means in their own way, they are also vulnerable and perhaps on the edge of desperation. Oh my God, I can't afford not to be rich anymore. They're also hustling, conning. All right, believing in things that maybe don't make any sense. They're at least prone to that. This is a human situation. It's not just a reflection of some people are poor and some people are rich. It's not that. It's not just that. It's also just we're all susceptible to this. And I think maybe one of the lessons here, and you got to get away from that desperation. And that has something to do maybe with your faith in God. You know, if you can get yourself, if you can actually restore your faith, where you actually begin to have a certain amount of confidence in life and in your prospects and recognizing that even in difficult, painful, bankrupting circumstances, you know, if your faith is strong, you can get through it. If your faith is weak, you are going to be susceptible to the snake oil salesman and the people that are promising you a free lunch and they'll take care of you. You're going to have to take care of yourself. That's the way this is breaking down. And that's going to be a hard, painful lesson for most people, but it's going to be the lesson we're going to learn. Right? So, anyway,
I think that's why people get so frustrated with gold. They think they buy it, and they've been promised from a lot of these people that the price of gold is going to, you know, skyrocket. Then it doesn't. It goes up a little bit. Then it comes down. And that's not why you should be buying gold. You shouldn't be buying gold because of the promises of what it will do in price. I'll tell you what, when gold gets to $5,000, I'm going to wish it was back to $1,200 because I know what's going to be happening in my community and places around this country when gold is $5,000. It's not going to be a pretty picture. You buy gold, and the beauty of gold is because you know, and particularly Al talked about faith. You know, if you want to get out of their system, I mean, sure, you know, there's a lot of people that are at 100%. It's difficult to be to live in this world and still be in somewhat. But gold and silver both provide you with a sense of freedom. It gives you that financial freedom from the system. You buy it and you put it away. It is your true savings account. Every day I buy product back from people who says, you know, I've had it and I just need it for one reason or another. It's been a great savings tool.
Yep.
Because if I had had it in a bank, if I had had it in stocks, I would have spent it a long time ago. So it's a great savings account. And when you hear people talk about and say, oh, well, it doesn't give you a monthly income. Really? Buy yourself some
gold
coins.
Neither does an insurance policy.
Buy yourself. But your insurance policy, you can't cut up and sell on a monthly basis.
Oh, I get you. But what I'm getting to is this.
With gold, you can. You can buy
up. Gold is an insurance policy is what I'm trying to is the analogy I'm trying to make here. And it's like buying medical insurance. If you get medical insurance that will cover you against heart attack and stroke, it doesn't mean that you won't have a heart attack. It means that you will have the means to pay for medical care if you do. All right? Gold doesn't mean that you will live happily ever after, but it does mean that in the event of difficult times, you'll be able to get through them to the extent that you've saved your wealth in the form of gold. It is insurance. It doesn't guarantee you won't have the trouble. It guarantees you'll be able to deal with the trouble. Just like at medical insurance. Same idea. At least that's the way it crosses my mind.
Well, yes. I've always, you know, sold gold as the insurance policy against wealth destruction. And you can also sell it as, you know, they say it doesn't provide you with an income. Well, you know what? If you put all your savings into gold, you can sell a piece of gold a month. You can have your expenses paid. You can sell it every 3 months or sell it quarterly or the first of the year you sell enough to get through the year. So no, there are ways to use your gold and silver, and unfortunately there's really not a lot of dealers anymore who really talk about what really gold is all about. We're about the only ones. And everybody else is just trying to push, you know, the highest dollar and to get you to buy anything and at any cost. And so, you know, we always appreciate your support anyway. So, Alfred?
You know, we've got one more article a little bit. I just did one that one in three Americans can't come up with $2,000 from CNBC. Here's another one from Schiff, a competitor, but he points out that one in four U.S. workers have less than $1,000 in retirement savings. The annual retirement confidence survey was released recently and shows that one in four workers surveyed have less than $1,000 saved for their retirement. The survey's results show a disconnect between U.S. worker confidence and their ability to retire comfortably and their actual preparedness. Now, when they say actual preparedness, what they mean is reality. There is a disconnect between people think, oh, I'll be all right, I'll be able to retire comfortably. That's, they have confidence in that, but reality is, no, you won't. All right, or at least for many people, for a quarter of the population. And this is one in four have less than 1,000 saved for their retirement. What are they going to count on? Social Security? Their pension funds? Those things are all blowing up around everybody right now. How many pension funds? If you stop to think about it, how many pension funds do we really think? Out of 100 pension funds on a percentage basis, how many do you folks think are really going to survive for the next 5 or 10 years and be able to deliver the pensions that were promised and expected? How many? What percentage out of 100? Some of them will. I don't know what the answer to that question is, but if you stop to think about it, it's like you say, oh, wait a second. I don't think most of them are going to make it.
Al, so, I know. I don't mean to end your thought there, but I did get an email in, and this goes back to our first. I don't know if we have time to answer it today. If you don't, we can do it tomorrow.
Got a minute and a half, 2 minutes and a half.
It's about in the beginning with the Bristol sheriff wanting to arrest mayors about the sanctuary cities. His question is, what bothers him is that it would be federal law enforcement officers who arrest them, and that sets a dangerous precedent.
Well, there's danger all about us, and that's he makes a good point because all of this stuff, or at least much of it, is infuriating. And you can hear it in my voice that this stuff, I mean, it makes you crazy. Mm-hmm. And it's because the government has done things that are so stupid, it's painted itself in a corner where all it can do now is do more stupid things to try to avoid reality. And it just makes matters worse and worse and worse. And I suppose people like myself have to check ourselves a little bit. We've got to be reasonable. We also have to be effective. It's something, what's the right thing to do? It's not easily seen, and it's part of the reason why the whole thing is so frustrating, bewildering, and infuriating.
But if you do have a leader, he should be able to communicate to these cities somehow, and there should be some sort of, you know, some sort of...
There are some things that these cities are doing. When the cities are hiding, when they are providing sanctuary for criminals.
I get it.
What do you need? What do you need? I mean, do you need to go back to grade school to get a lesson in morality? This is a crime, all right, being perpetrated by people in government around the country. Not everybody, but some people here, there, wherever. How the heck did this ever get into the American body politic? How is it part of our psyche? It is not tolerable. Must be stopped. It's not about the illegal aliens. It's about the government that's committing crimes. That's what has to be stopped. We have to be stopped because we're out of time. I want to thank everybody for listening. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.